The Blagshaw Arts Hour.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blagshaw Arts Hour. It's Ellie here, riding solo today, all up in your ear holes, and I'm going to be bringing you some very exciting things. What we've got coming up is a personal reflection, rather than a review, of a couple of films from me. We've got Strat and Alex attempting some art. They are doing the ever-esteemed potato printing, not just for children, for grown-ups too. We're also going to be bringing you the second half of our conversation about 18 shows to see in 2018. And we've got some very exciting Blagshaw news, two announcements coming up at the end of the show. So stay tuned and enjoy.
A review of a thing.
It's time for somebody's opinion.
I haven't got a huge amount to say about this, but I very recently went to see two very different films. The first of which was Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. This very long-titled film is absolutely fantastic. You'll all know by now that it has indeed been nominated for several Oscars, and it was such a good watch. It wasn't what I was expecting. It was funnier than I was expecting. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is super, super dark, but the performances are incredible, and there is some really good humour in there for people that like dark humour. It's also pretty violent, but again, I was embracing that. I think it is absolutely worth a watch. The other film I went to see as a kind of thematic palate cleanser was Greatest Showman. It was such good fun. I had goosebumps right from the beginning. The songs are fantastic. I'm sure you've heard a lot of them by now. They've got a kind of hip hop edge and the performances were all really good. There is a more complex discussion to be had about the theme of freak shows and the real life treatment of people that performed in those back in the day, but I think the film kind of exists within its own bubble. It's a fantasy world that's been created. Obviously it's not a particularly real portrayal of the time, and I guess also the fact that it's a musical brings it out of that kind of plane of reality as well. So if you are happy to kind of suspend your disbelief on that, it's just a really good ride. I was surprised by how invested I was in the characters, and I was also surprised by how emotional I found it. Regular listeners will know that camaraderie is probably my biggest trigger for weeping, so I was glad to be watching this alone and at a quiet time when the cinema was not so full that my tears and stifled sobs were not super embarrassing. So I would really recommend going to see that as well. And coming up, there are lots of brilliant things coming out. I'm going to be going to see Coco and the latest Nick Park offering, which is the fantastic looking Early Man. The trailers have really made me chuckle. So another couple of kind of lighter films, although I suspect Coco is going to make me cry. And so, yeah, there's lots of things coming up. If there's something in particular that you would like Matt to give a review of, then please do get in touch. You can either tweet us at Blagshaw Update or at Matt Boothman to put in your suggestions. So I know you're all itching for this part of the show. It's time to see what Strat and Alex are doing.
Strat and Alex do art.
Oh yeah.
Yes, art. Oh. Oh, I mean, it looks lovely, mate.
Okay, we've got a very exciting challenge today on this art feature.
Exciting and a little bit worrying and dangerous, maybe.
Yes, although ironically, this is like a challenge that children are pretty adept at. So.
they don't do the dangerous bit.
No, they don't.
No.
We'll explain. what we're asking Strat and Alex to do today is...
fire breathing.
No. Potato printing.
Potato
printing. Printing, printenting.
Yeah.
So this is something that I remember doing as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, usually the parent wields the sharp implement to create the potato stamp. So for anyone who's not familiar, it is pretty much what it does on the tin.
On the bag of potatoes.
The bag.
Does it say printing, suitable for printing on potato bags?
Yeah, you get baking potatoes and printing potatoes.
Yeah.
Right.
Luckily, Vicky Weston has picked up some printing potatoes for us today.
Uh-huh.
They are looking pretty nice and shiny.
The lads have selected their potatoes from the pool. what went into the potato selection decision?
I literally just picked up the first two potatoes and then Alex took all but one more.
Right, so a really calculated decision.
Yeah, I mean, I did a similar thing. I picked the ones that are nearest to
me.
Oh,
great. Well done, guys. Starting with a strategy.
Yeah.
So there's multiple stages to this art. You're gonna turn your potatoes into stamps.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You gotta
choose your paints.
And maybe even mix some paints. And then you've got to use your half potato stamps to make some patterns.
Yep. And the patterns need to fall into the format of wrapping paper.
Mm.
So I've got some lovely brown paper, which I use to wrap presents. And it's going to be the base for your very own designer wrapping paper.
Right.
It can be to celebrate any occasion. So it could be occasion specific or it could be generic pan event, if you will. It's entirely up to you, but you need to create what you perceive to be attractive or appealing wrapping paper.
Right. Okay. We'll make a decision whether we're going to, like, once we've seen the patterns, whether we think it would sell better in Paper Chase or like Aldi.
Oh, he's holding a knife.
I feel there's some besmirching of Aldi's good name there. Like.
But it's not your top choice of wrapping paper, is it?
I don't know if they even sell it.
It's a mystery item. It's one of the mystery items where you go in and you're like, what's in the centre aisle today? I don't know. It will be pretty good, whatever it is. But you wouldn't go there thinking, I need wrapping paper.
No,
this is where I'll go.
No.
I wasn't suggesting those were opposite ends of a quality scale. Just that you want different things from Paper Chase wrapping paper and Aldi wrapping paper.
Yeah. That's you told.
Boom.
So the traditional way of doing it is to cut the potato in half and then carve a shape into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily need to be half. I guess you could go for smaller portions of potato. You could go for rings of potato. It's really up to you. But I would consider carefully that you need both a stamp and a natural handle for doing the stamping.
Yeah.
So that's my word of advice. Matt, do you have any advice?
I think I should mention that somebody is planning to have the remains of the potatoes for tea.
Yes, yeah, Vicky Weston and David Turnbull.
Don't get paint on all over all of them.
Yeah, I mean it's probably fine. Is it water soluble paint?
Yeah,
it's acrylic.
Oh, tasty! That'll poison them up real good.
Real potato artists don't have to deal with this rubbish.
No, do you know what I mean? I don't have to be concerned about people eating
one's saying to Monet during his potato period, you better keep them nice and clean because I'm going to want them for my dinner.
Yeah.
Or indeed, someone was going to cook them for Monet's dinner because I figured Monet would probably have a chef.
Probably did.
Well, he's rich.
He probably had his... Well, he had baked potatoes and printing potatoes, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he had different potatoes. See, we don't have that luxury. We've only got printing potatoes that are also eating potatoes.
Yeah. We're people on a budget. What are we saying?
It's true. All of the things you've said are
a lesson
fact.
About art here somewhere.
Don't do art with idiots.
How very dare you?
I didn't say that's an idiot. What we were doing, did I? I just said that's the lesson. It's a lesson.
It was implied.
Yeah. All right. We'll stop being silly. No, we won't. But we will do some very serious potato printing now. So I will document your progress and I look forward to the final finished article.
Go on. Treat yourself to something.
Subscribe to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on your generic podcast resource.
You deserve it.
Well, there you go. We'll leave you on tenterhooks until a little bit later to find out how the potato printing goes and if anyone gets stabbed. Next up, we've got the second half of the conversation we had about 18 shows to see in 2018 as laid out by Time Out. Number 7, Caroline or Change? I'd never heard of this.
This is a transfer
from Chichester, which is very common.
Yeah.
Chichester throws a lot of stuff into London. Sharon D. Clarke reprises her show-stealing turn in Tony Kushner and Janine Tesori's occult musical as the eponymous Caroline, a formidable black maid living with the white Gelman family in 1963 at the peak of the civil rights era. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It's not the Hampstead. From the 12th of March to the 21st of April. I love a musical.
I kind of love stuff that's set in this period in America.
Yes, it's very interesting.
But it is kind of interesting seeing that happen in a British theatre because it's not like it's not kind of totally relatable.
It's not our history.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And actually, I can't think of that many musicals that have been staged in mainstream theatres in London
no.
that have a black female lead.
No.
Yeah.
That aren't like The Lion King.
Or Dreamgirls.
And Dreamgirls.
Yeah. No, that, I think
that's the only one I can think of actually is Dreamgirls.
I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
What's this going to do for... Wasn't the Hampstead one of the ones that did badly
yes,
in the,
very badly.
The gender split
yes.
survey?
For writers, yes.
Yes.
So, obviously, Tony Kushner's in there, but sharing the credit with Janine Tesori.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That
yeah.
might help.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think we were really awarding points for that. But, but yeah. I think it's quite nice to see a musical that's about something real other than... Like a fluffy musical.
It's not a jukebox.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
it's not a let's celebrate the oeuvre of this artist.
No, and it's not a guy meets girl fluff musical either.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm always interested in, because musicals, not typically my favourite form of theatre, but always interested in new styles of musical, telling stories in different ways.
Well, if you're interested in new styles of musicals and telling stories in different ways, number 8 is right up your street.
Yes,
this
it is.
Is it Coraline or
Coraline?
Coraline. So this is Neil Gaiman's cult 2002 fantasy novella about a girl who steps into a parallel world inhabited by disturbing parallel visions of her family, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
This is taking the format of a family opera.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. Mm. It's playing at the Barbican, which I think is a really good venue choice for something as sort of off the wall as this. And that's running from the 29th of March to the 7th of April. So it's a short run.
Very short run. I mean, Barbican does tend to be a short run thing. I wonder if it'll go somewhere else, though.
I hope so. That sounds intriguing.
The money and effort that has to go into staging something of this kind, that have had to buy the rights and all that kind of thing.
And I can imagine they might have quite an intense set.
Yeah, potentially. I'd be really... I mean, if you have kids who like stuff that's a little bit dark and twisty... then this, it will be an absolute treat.
Yeah.
It will just be brilliant.
Number 9 is called Quiz. Playwright James Graham scores his 4th West End hit with this dramatisation of the Coughing Major trial, wherein former British Army officer Charles Ingham was put in the dock for cheating to win the TV quiz show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Wow.
I know, right? I'm just who's going to play Chris Tarrant? It's my first
question. I'd love it if it was Chris Tarrant.
Oh my God, yes.
It's at the Noel Coward Theatre, which I think is, again, quite a good venue choice. And it's running from the 31st of March to the 16th of June. I mean, it just sounds completely bonkers.
They get to recreate the millionaire set,
presumably.
Yeah,
I guess the set designer didn't have a lot of complicated choices to make, maybe.
I just kind of think, what a... It's actually kind of brilliant to have something that's got... You know, you could have, a kind of really good, closed set, you're just one place, you're on set in Who Wants a Millionaire.
The audience is the audience.
Everyone knows what they're coming in for, and then
you can
tell the story.
Do you think
interesting
that Charles
way.
Ingham is going to be in the actual audience? Ooh. Coughing.
Yeah, well, he takes it. The story is he was in the chair.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
and then he had
a friend of his.
A friend of his was in the audience.
And his wife
was the one doing the coughing,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Is the right around.
Interesting. So the promo image is the millionaire set, him on on the set. But it says it's a dramatisation of the trial. So
maybe they have a bit of both.
Maybe
then.
It's a bit of both.
I imagine they must have used actual footage at the trial. So
yeah, quite possible. So this is James Graham, who wrote Ink, which has just finished its transfer run, which has been starring Bertie Carvel, which has had massive acclaim.
Which is the one about Murdoch, right?
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch.
So he obviously is really into writing about... I'm not sure what his other West End hits they're referring to are. I only know of Ink. But I think he's probably big on writing about these kind of massive moments in British kind of popular and news culture that occurred in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of an interesting place to be tapping for stories
And finding something to sympathise with in fairly despicable people as well. I heard interviews with him about Ink, sort of talking about how it's not... He finds, not necessarily the sympathetic or likeable side, but at least the human side of Rupert Murdoch, to try and give you kind of... Without necessarily trying to make you like him, give you an insight into why he acts the way he does. So
yeah.
he seems to be interested in why people act badly, yeah. why people do bad things.
Yeah. Another play that he's responsible for, which I've just looked at, he's been prolific, is Labour of Love, which has just been on and is then going to transfer to the Noel Coward Theatre, but that was starring Tamsin Gregg and Martin Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about the political campaigners for the Labour Party.
Yeah.
And there's a love story in there somewhere, I think. But I was going to go and see it and then didn't get around to sorting myself out tickets. But yeah, he's obviously doing like quintessentially early 2000s stuff, which is kind of interesting, I think, in a, you know, not a lot of other people are doing that kind of thing.
recent history. Number 10 is, I think, going to be a pretty big crowd pleaser. This is Strictly Ballroom the Musical.
This is great news. I love that film.
So Baz Luhrmann's Strictly Ballroom began life as an 80s stage play about a rebellious, idiosyncratic ballroom dancer and was turned into a world-conquering film in 92 and now hits the West End in a musical incarnation starring Will Young.
Now, I've got some things to say about the fact that it stars Will Young, given that he dropped out of Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh.
Season before last.
Right.
Because he was, I don't know, having some kind of... emotional mental difficulties with, I don't know if it was to do with the performing or to do with exhaustion or what have
personal
you.
Personal life.
Yeah, no, I think it was to do with the performing in the show.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm not quite sure what the actual connection was, but there was some kind of issue that meant that he couldn't continue to be in the TV series Strictly Come Dancing. Yeah. But is obviously actually a really good dancer and performer, so be interesting to see him kind of
I wonder
pick up
if
the
it could have been
again.
Linked to him having obviously done TV competition for his singing in the past, and he was just reliving that.
Yeah, I was going to say it could just be flashbacks,
like,
right? Because
no.
Actually, I kind of felt a bit cheated then because I wasn't getting to see Will Young do all
because he was really good
of this incredible ballroom that I felt like I knew he was capable of, and had the potential.
Oh
for,
well, now you, here you go.
We know from previous appearances in musicals in London that he shifts tickets like nobody's business.
Yes, he really does. He is
actually really good.
He's
people
great
are
value
see
for money.
This show.
Yeah,
and like mums will see this show.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Strictly Ballroom, it is a brilliant
And I don't usually
film.
Like stuff selling on names, but at least with Will Young, he's actually genuinely very, very talented. So this is showing at the Piccadilly Theatre from the 16th of March to the 21st of July. So that's a good, decent run.
Definitely worth seeing.
Sticking with musicals.
So this is Tina, the Tina Turner musical. This is a jukebox musical. Yeah.
Typically my least favourite kind of musical.
Yeah. So this is... It all sounds fairly
written by Katori Hall, who's The Mountaintop I have seen and was very impressive.
Well, and also directed by Phyllida Lloyd, who did Mamma Mia and did it really well. But it's also a bit like, this is kind of a pairing here, right?
Yeah.
Of something that feels like a bit different.
They've put together a bit of a cool dream team. So this is showing at the Aldwych Theatre, and it's running from the 21st of March to the 16th of June.
It'll be interesting to see who's playing Tina. That's going to be the big thing for me.
That will be the make or break, presumably.
Yeah, that would be my, whether or not I would potentially consider going to see that.
Yeah.
Because if it's someone awesome, then it will be.
Yeah.
It will be brilliant.
Yeah. Then at 12, we've got Chess, which is a classic 80s collaboration between Tim Rice and Abba's Benny Anderson and Bjorn. Bjorn, how do you say his name? Anyway,
Benny and Bjorn from ABBA.
Yeah.
We need to
all I'm saying is, when we talk about musicals Vicky doesn't like, this very firmly falls into the category of musicals Vicky thinks are rubbish.
So, they haven't announced the cast yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's the ENO, English National Opera.
Typically do good stuff.
Yes. So, this is at the London Coliseum.
So, it's part of their series of, quote, semi-staged musical revival.
Yeah, I know. I just hate everything about this.
Which makes me think they're going to do what some of it's just like rehearsed reading style.
Yeah.
Or some of it's just the songs.
Yeah.
Almost like concert style, potentially.
Right.
Or rehearsed reading
because it'll be big names that they haven't been able to get the rehearsal time with to
do
the full production.
So you don't get the full performance, you just get people with good voices doing the songs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway. I mean, they do it every year, so it must be something that lands with some people. I don't want to sort of judge the quality of it.
No, and it sounds like quite a good long run as well, 26th of April to the 2nd of June.
If they get good people in again, it will be worth seeing for people with great voices.
Yeah, exactly. So number 13 is Lift 2018, which is the brilliant biennial London International Festival of Theatre.
This is a bit of a cheat, really.
Yeah, it's a whole festival.
I don't think this should have been in the 18. Not because Lyft isn't brilliant, but
it should be its own thing.
It's its own thing.
And because they've only announced a few shows.
Yeah, there's nothing to say here.
Yeah.
Other than that it's on in the Barbican.
Yeah, and it runs the 28th to the 30th of June.
It's like a weekend festival for theatre, which I think is an awesome thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
Long may it continue, and it'll be really interesting to see. And maybe we can cover that in a later show, you know, what will actually be on for that weekend.
So number 14 is Fun Home. This is the Young Vic.
Yeah, Young Vic.
So this is an American musical.
Yeah, it's an adaptation of a graphic novel by Alison Bechdel of the Bechdel Test fame.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Connection.
Yeah. About her coming out to her father and her father's death.
Right, okay. Yeah. Not as a consequence of her coming out, I hope.
No.
No.
It's opened on Broadway, and responses are starting to come out, and I think it's in the same way as early in the life of Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
there's been like a significant TV televisation of like one or two of the songs that seems to be set to launch it to similar heights. So this could be a this could be a big one.
Yeah, okay. It could be. Well, it's a one to watch. Tickets aren't available yet, though. I imagine they'll be on sale like later in the year.
Yeah. So it's The Young Vic, 18th of June to the 1st of September.
Yep.
Number 15, The King and I.
Boom! Another massive musical.
Yes, it is. So it's a Rodgers and Hammerstein production. Everyone knows what this is about.
Yeah. It's Ken Watanabe.
Yeah.
As the king.
Yeah.
That's massive, I think.
Yeah.
And then huge performance. I'm expecting from Kelly O'Hara.
Has she been over into the West End before?
I don't know.
Because she's done loads on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
She's cleaned up at the Tonys.
Yeah.
But I'm not totally sure I've seen her. Usually there's enough stuff for her doing on Broadway. She doesn't need to come over and do stuff in the West End.
Yeah.
So I think this is quite a big move.
So she is... Yep, she's in it. So the London Palladium from the 21st of June to the 4th of August. Then we've got number 16. Oh, this is interesting.
This
Monster Calls. So this is devised by the company as well. It's at the Old Vic in association with Bristol Old Vic. It's Sally Cookson, who devised the National Theatre's smash productions of Jane Eyre and Peter Pan.
That Jane Eyre, it is choice.
Yes.
That's one of the best productions I've seen in the last five
years.
Wow,
okay.
I think this is going to be excellent.
Yeah, it's an amazing novel. It's about a boy consumed with grief and anger at his mother's terminal cancer. It was made into a film recently.
Yeah.
Patrick
Ness is a brilliant writer as well. It's a great... the story's just great material to work with.
So this is going to be at the Old Vic, the 7th of July to the 25th of August. Then we've got number 17, Lieutenant of Inishmore. So this is Martin McDonagh.
Yeah.
Pretty classic stuff. Set in 93 against the backdrop of the Irish peace process. Dishy Poldark star Aidan Turner leads the cast.
I mean, I would say that's the reason to see this.
That's
the
reason for a lot of middle-aged women to see the show.
Yeah. It's actually a great... I know a little bit about this play, having... I read it at university and I cannot remember why... But it'll be good, but it'll be kind of dark and
intense.
McDonagh's good at that.
But McDonagh's great at that, and Aidan Turner's great at that.
Yes.
So
it'll be nice to hear him being Irish.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of women in the audience, and it's like a totally gender thing. It just will be a lot of women who have really enjoyed him in Poldark who are going to the theatre and are then like, what?
Yeah. It will be like, so Vicky and
Much
I saw
like,
Bug with James Norton, and he is... similarly
kind of
wooed by middle-aged ladies for his performance in Grantchester as a mystery solving
vicar.
And this was Bug was a very dark and twisty play where he is like a paranoid, mentally ill man who thinks he has bugs inside him and picks his own skin apart and pulls out his teeth.
So there were many, many ladies in their like 50s who were
not
sitting around
that.
Me and Ellie, totally confused by what was happening.
Partly
also because we were like sat on the set.
Yeah, because it was...
there was not a theatre.
No, it was a found space.
I mean, for long-term fans of Aidan Turner, I think this is probably going to be less Poldark Aidan Turner and more Being Human Aidan Turner.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
And actually, in a way, I think a return to form for Aidan Turner, for the kinds of, like, if you've seen the TV adaptation of And Then There Were None,
yeah.
Again,
ooh, tiny towel.
a tiny, tiny towel. This is the kind of stuff This is the kind of stuff that Aidan Turner is really, really good at. Yeah. And that's not to say that he's not good in pole dart, because I know he's very good
and,
in pole dart.
You know, we all really we all hope that he will take his clothes off in this.
And he may well do that.
But he is an excellent actor. So that's at the Noel Coward Theatre, and I'm sure Noel Coward would be very pleased about that. Running from the 23rd of June to the 8th of September. And last but very much not least, we've got...
Another Martin McDonagh and another Bridge production.
Correct. Yeah, so this is number 18. This is a very, very, very dark matter. So, as you say, another Martin McDonagh. This is the wonderful Jim Broadbent.
Oh, yes.
And the story of Hans Christian Andersen. So it's about the Danish storyteller whose fairy tales mix magic with moments of pure horror.
This is going to be dark and twisty.
Sounds intriguing.
For reals.
Really so intriguing. And running at exactly the time you would expect it to, the 10th of October to the 29th of December.
Yeah, so this is a great way to finish off a year.
Yeah.
This isn't a McDonagh play I was aware of at all. I know of The Lieutenant of Inishmore, but I've never read or seen it. But I've never even heard of this title.
No, this is totally new to me, and have me, as soon as I finish this list, going, why wasn't this up the top?
Yeah,
it's because it's at the end of the year and they did it in chronological order, so I get it. It's fine.
But that looks intriguing also. So actually, I am going to go and spend all the money I don't have on theatre tickets as soon as I can.
Yeah, we've set you up for the year.
I just want to mention one thing very quickly. As a replacement for Lift Festival, which I think they should have put in here instead of... and I think it's probably because it technically started in the third week of December, so they haven't counted it as a 2018 show, but Hamilton is a 2018 show that everybody should see, and that me and Ellie are going to see, so we'll be reviewing that super.
But I mean, if you don't
show.
Already have tickets, it'll probably be a 2019 show.
Oh yeah. Yes. But they've reviewed shows that are opening this year, and so I think because Hamilton opened in the third week of December, it didn't count, but I feel like it should have counted.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward
to that's my
to
number 18.
I'm looking forward to your review of Hamilton.
Oh, Matt, I'm looking forward to my review too. Anywho, it's time to get back to Strat and Alex and see how their potato printing is going.
Strat and Alex do art.
Well, we are back from what was an incredibly tense and
messy, very messy,
adrenaline filled session of potato printing.
I feel like I've got a sense of what it must be like to be Mel and or Sue on the Bake Off.
Yes.
Watching people who desperately want to succeed have temporary setbacks and get stressed.
Yes. Yeah. And there was even some beautiful moments where towards the end Alex was helping Strat, like in the Bake Off, where they help each other if someone's a bit low on time. So we had 40 minutes of that exercise, and I think the time was incredibly well spent. Do you guys want to talk us through what happened?
It's really hard.
Strat's really stressed right now.
It's really hard.
I'll do a bit of speaking for you.
Okay, I need to get my heart rate down.
Yeah. Strat right now is the art equivalent of wrapped in a space blanket after, after a race.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My approach was start cutting, see what comes out, and then go from there.
Yeah.
So a kind of sort of improvisational ad hoc approach to printing.
Sure.
Whereas I feel Strat had more of a plan than I did.
Agree.
He had a plan. I did not have a plan. I think it shows in our final product. I won't lie.
Which we'll discuss in a moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was...
the problem I had, though, by having a plan, is that plan can go horribly wrong.
Yes. Yes, there is that.
You can waste half the time of the task and then have to start again.
Yeah, there is that.
Do you feel emotionally ready to talk us through what happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I decided to do lettering and have words, or rather, I guess, onomatopoeias, on my thing. And then I was quite happily chiselling away at my potatoes and had just kind of like got into the swing of how it's good to like get the like gaps between letters. Essentially, I've nailed the kerning at this point.
sure.
Like, wow.
Up down with the kerning until somebody very kindly, I have to say.
Your wife.
My wife.
My wife.
In the supportive way that.
It was very gentle.
It was very gentle. You know, it was atypical of our relationship with Helen very gently pointing out what a mess I'm making of something. who informed me that, of course, you have to, when you're printing, everything has to be backwards.
Yeah.
So I had to cut out two words the right way round, only to have to do all of it again the wrong way around.
Yeah.
So...
Because it's a mirror image, isn't it?
It's a mirror image, yeah. So I then had to do all that again. And then I could only, like, of the extra stuff I wanted to do other than the words, I could only do one thing. But, you know...
Oh, so this wasn't... There was more...
To yeah,
yeah. Okay, so we'll describe the finished designs. So Strats, which we're currently talking about, has got some yellow, like, blasts, I would call them. Like,
yeah,
star.
Kinda, yeah, star bursts. Explosions.
Yeah. And
because we've only had a limited palette of colours, we should.
Yes. Primary colours.
Yeah. Primary colours.
And then within the starbursts, you've got then phrases. So zap and pow.
Yes.
Very much in the tradition of the 60s Adam West Batman TV series.
Yes.
Exactly. Even the colour palette is exactly.
Or Roy Lichtenstein, if you want to go even more sort of.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Our resident expert.
And then you've also got blue bats.
Yeah.
Which look great and are recognisably bats. The bat symbol. Batman symbol. What was the additional thing or things?
That was going, because that's kind of inspired. At the moment, Alex is wearing a Robin t-shirt that I... Oh, yeah, that was a present we bought you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was very inspired. So I was going to do the mask he's wearing, and possibly if I had time, Robin R as well.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, wow, I mean, you were going full guns on that.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
a lot of work.
I was foolish and thought I could. I might have been able to do it had I not.
Had it not been.
Had it not been. So yeah, following the whole Bake Off.
Overplanned. And what particular occasion, if any, had you designed this wrapping paper for?
Well, it's kind of, I guess it could be a multi-purpose one. I figured probably mostly going to be birthdays.
Yeah.
I'm looking at sort of like kids or people like us, big kids.
Yeah. Yeah, graphic novel fans.
Yeah, essentially, Alex was my inspiration
for this.
I looked over, I saw Robin staring back at me, and I thought, I know a man that would like some wrapping paper.
I know a giant child who would enjoy Batman wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. So the finished piece is great. And despite the hurried way in which you executed the end product, the placement of all of those stamps, I think, is spot on. Very evenly scattered.
Yeah. And the zaps in particular.
Oh, they really stand
out beautifully. Mm.
That was the one I was worried about.
No, I think that's the best bit.
Yeah.
It's worked really well, mate.
Yeah. Without that one, I realised I had a little bit more time, and so I was able to be a little bit more artistic with the lettering.
Yeah.
Whereas the pow is just straight up pow.
Right.
Which is kind of like, with that word, it's no messing, right?
No.
So it seems like it's got a bit more going on.
Yeah.
But pow is just like...
Right there.
No messing.
Mm.
Yeah. Zap comes in around it, kind
like,
of.
Woo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's how we personified those words.
I am very impressed.
Thank you.
And Alex, talk us through the shapes that you carved.
Well, I decided to go with a little arrow shape because that's what kind of started coming out of the potato. And then I carved a smiley face as well. And I've
there's
arranged
two arrow
them.
Shapes.
There's two arrow shapes. There's a negative and a positive arrow shape. So you've got,
the actual arrow.
The actual
and then
arrow
the inverse of the arrow.
Mm. So you very much took a Michelangelo sculpting approach of finding the shape that is already there.
Within the potato.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I'll use that.
And the smiley, I would say the arrows have come out very clearly.
Yeah.
The smiley's a mixed success.
Mixed success. I found that you needed to put a lot of pressure in the centre of the spud when printing.
And I did question whether you might be cheating because you were touching up your smileys, so to speak, with extra paint, but you were using a potato to do that.
That was only with two. I then found a later technique that worked better and didn't need the touch-up.
Right. So possibly just two cheats.
I quite like it because they remind me quite nicely of... like the potato smiley faces that
they
you
do look very similar to that.
That you eat.
That you eat,
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I think we could market this either through that or as like emoji movie wallpaper.
Yeah.
All of those arrows.
Or a little bit road signy.
Yeah, they look a bit like your WhatsApp emoji library arrows.
So what, again, did you design this with any, well, I mean, you didn't design it with anything in mind, but which, what occasion would you use this wrapping paper for?
Birthdays. I'd say birthdays, any sort of happy, jolly present.
Yeah.
It's nothing too specific.
It's non-denominational.
Yeah,
Valentine's is coming up.
Yeah. Do you want...
I mean, it's not specifically
wrapping paper with blue arrows and little red smiley faces grinning at you for Valentine's Day?
Maybe.
If so, this is the wrapping paper for you.
Mm.
If not, then look elsewhere.
Yeah, go to Aldi.
This is the only one I've got.
Good. It's bespoke.
Do you know what I mean?
It is bespoke, yeah.
Tailor-made to that individual.
To no specific instructions.
Yeah.
It's good. Good.
Free-form wrapping paper creation.
Yeah.
It's good.
Right, well, Matt, what are your thoughts from a judgment perspective?
I think I'm going to go with Strat.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because we were sitting here and we saw the almost literal blood, sweat and tears he poured into this.
He's taken us on a journey.
But it was an emotional journey.
It was an emotional journey. And I really think it's paid off. I think it's, as we said, the placement of the design elements is very nicely done. And it all hangs together very nicely. And it does what it was trying to do.
Yeah. And I think I understand that reasoning. And I think I'm going to go to vote the same way. But my reasoning is mostly that I think it was a really well thought out design.
Yeah.
I think the planning went in there, and you had to make some adjustments for, you know, limited resources towards the end.
But I did.
but that's, you know, that's what it's like in the real world when you want to deliver a product to a deadline.
Yeah, just got, you know, simplicity. Maybe I should have embraced it a little bit more.
No, I think you've both done very well, and I think if we did another foray into printing, maybe something slightly more adult, like screen printing, for example.
That would be good. Ooh. I mean, hard, but that would be fun.
Yeah.
What about RGB screen printing?
We can look into that as a next step up.
I have to say, actually, also, just as a sort of, as a consolation, looking at the stamps themselves, Alex's are cut much more deeply and therefore look easier to stamp with.
Mm.
Like, they look like there's less of a risk of paint that you didn't mean to transfer.
Right.
Yeah.
Getting on the paper.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think Alex has solid technique.
Just very little direction.
Just less strategic.
Which is odd considering their arrows.
See what we did there? And on that fabulous pun, we shall proclaim Strat the winner on this occasion. And we look forward to our next challenge. Well done.
Thank you. I'm going to go lie down.
The Blackshaw Art Hour.
Ooh, that's a tasty treat.
Well, that was an emotional roller coaster. Get yourselves a little drink, have a sit down, and boy, have I got news for you, folks. That's right, we've got two Blackshaw productions coming up that I'm going to tell you about. First up, we have got, very excitingly, a date booked in for Mothman by Nicole Locke. Now, she was our 2017 Showcase Award winner, and we are going to be doing a one-night-only industry showcase on the 8th of March at the Old Red Lion Theatre. We're super excited, and there will be a very limited number of tickets released to you, the general public. That's right. Normally, it's just industry, but we've got a little bit of more capacity to work with at Old Red Lion, so we're going to be potentially open the little crack in the door for the little tickety-bookities. So keep an eye on our social media. The information is coming at the end of the show, and you will be first to hear about that. Now, the second show that I'm telling you about is very much open to everybody. So here's the information. Got a pen and paper. I want to just pop that down. Yep. Okay. So on Friday the 11th and Saturday the 12th of May, upon the evening time, we will be performing at the Putney Arts Theatre. Now, this is part of the Wandsworth Arts Fringe, and it's going to be a very exciting new radio play written by Chris Buxey. It's called The Final Adventure of Frankie Fightwell. It's a dark comedy about principles, money, and the importance of family. Stuart is a writer and creator of the beloved young adult literature heroine, Frankie Fightwell. Stuart soon comes to realise that there may be more than just the usual vampire sharks and giant Nazi man spiders preventing Frankie from making it to the end of her latest adventure. Performed in front of a live audience with live Foley, that's lovely Andy making some sound effects, it will be aired on the Blackshaw Arts Hour right here in the podcast, in your ears and on Wandsworth Radio. The show will be accompanied by two very exciting things, the first of which is a new writing workshop that will be open to people ages 16+, and it's basically for aspiring writers. It will cover the discipline of writing, creating narrative, writing for radio, and can offer support for starting writing or works in progress, all kinds of mediums, not just radio writing. There's also, very excitingly, spread to young folk far and wide,
that there's going to be internships available on this production for Wandsworth students or residents. So they need to be either studying in Wandsworth or living in Wandsworth, ages 16 to 25. And that's going to be doing all sorts of exciting things in terms of working with us to create the production. So that could be sound engineering, it could be lights, it could be stage management, it could be directing, pretty much anything you can think of. So if you're interested in that, do get in touch. All of the ways in which you can do that will be coming up at the end of the show, or you can even drop us an email. It's info@blackshoreonline.com. So we hope we're going to be seeing you at the production in the audience. We do encourage our audiences to make some noise. So, you know, this is always a very one-way thing. I'm talking to you, I can't hear you back. But if you have spent a lot of time shouting at your wireless or into your headphones as you walk along the street like a crazy person, then this is a good time for you to come and be a part of the conversation. So do come along on the 11th and 12th of May. All the information and ticket links will be coming up on our social media really soon, and it's all rather exciting. That's it for today. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time, as per usual. If you can't survive without my voice until then, you can always tune in to Merely Role Players. That's Matt's podcast that's in association with us. It is our sister podcast, and it's available in all the places that you can find podcasts. Bye!
You've been listening to the Blackshore Arts Hour.
Follow us on Twitter at Blackshore Update.
Watch us on the Instagrams at Blackshore Theatre.
Like us on the Facebook at Blackshore Online.
And find all the things at blackshoreonline.com.
God, I've been talking really fast, haven't I?